I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
1 minute into the hour, and it is great to have you here on Open Line Tuesday, pro-life Open Line Tuesday, as always. This is Elena Rodriguez greeting you profusely and rolling out the red carpet for you. Glad you're joining us. Jack Williams is not moderating the show today. He is out of town, so he has asked me to please fill in for him. And so I'm producing and also moderating the show. Delighted to be here with you. And Barbara McGuigan is not here with us today. Please keep her in your prayers. She is undergoing eye cataract surgery. So please, please keep our dear Barbara McGuigan in your prayers. We have decided to be very joyful in asking our good pro-life friend Janet Marana to fill in for us today in place of Barbara McGuigan. And as you know very well, Janet Marana is the executive director of Priests for Life. She is also the co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, and she is the co-host of the Catholic View for Women TV show series that airs here on EWTN. A good day to celebrate life, Janet. Welcome to Open Line.
Well, thank you, Elena. And of course, I have to tell our listeners that you also are a co-host of the Catholic View for Women, and the shows that we taped will be debuting in September. So Elena comes from out behind the microphone to the camera to everyone come September. So our listeners will have to wait for news and tune in for those shows.
Yes, yes, I can't wait. We're going to have a lot of fun. And so Teresa Tomio, Janet Marana, and Elena Rodriguez on the same set. Good luck getting a word in.
Exactly. And of course, you know, Elena, my pro-life expertise comes really from all these years working with Father Frank Pavone, mm-hmm. and we have our, our Defending Life show also seen on
Yes,
WTN,
thank you for mentioning
co-host.
That. Yeah. Very important to mention Defending Life on Open Live on Open Line Pro-Life Tuesday.
Right.
Very important.
Exactly.
And so we thank Father Frank Pavone for his spiritual fatherhood and his pro-life defense throughout so many years, like you do, Janet, and we're going to open up our phone calls because we want you to be our guest here on Open Line Tuesday and be able to participate with us here on the show. The phone lines are open. Matt Gubinski, our call screener, ready to take your call. The number is 1-800-585-9396. That number again is 1-800-585-9396. Perhaps somebody has talked to you about late term abortion, and
right.
perhaps you are under the impression that being that it is so gruesome because it involves the abortion of a little human being inside the womb when that little human being is almost in full term or in full term, you think that doesn't happen. Well, Janet Marana is here to tell you otherwise and give you some facts and hard evidence that you can use in your pro-life defense, that you can use with a friend charitably, that you can use to defend the pro-life cause. If you have questions about this or any other pro-life topic, this is the number to call, 1-800-585-9396. And I also want to invite you to participate on our YouTube chat by going to youtube.com, and then you can type in the search bar EWTN channel. It'll take you to our EWTN page on YouTube, and then you can see our live webcast. Our social media manager, Jeff Burson, Mr. Nice Person, is handling that chat. You can watch the show, you can listen in, and you can type in your questions for Janet Marana and share with a vibrant YouTube community, to which I am saying hello, hi there, everybody. Glad you are joining us. You know, Janet, it's very important to celebrate somebody's birthday because we're celebrating life.
That's
well,
right.
We should be a pro-life culture. And here in the United States, we know that abortion has been legalized since January 22nd, 1973. And we think we are under the impression that maybe in some states, abortion is only legal until up a certain amount, 20 weeks, et cetera, 24 weeks. In some other states in the United States, it is until the baby is viable, so any time within the pregnancy.
Oh, sure, right up to birth, Elena. And, you know, that's the thing I like to try to make people aware is that Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton made abortion legal through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason. We're talking about even on healthy babies, healthy mothers, whatever the reason is, a woman has a right to that abortion. And like you mentioned, you know, some states, they limit it to only no abortions after 20 weeks, some 24, some 28. Mm-hmm. But there's a bunch of states, like, for example, New Mexico and Maryland, and there's several others, who allow abortions up to birth.
No limit.
No limit whatsoever. And these, we're talking about healthy babies and healthy mothers, because if anybody watched the presidential debate and you heard Hillary Clinton there touting, oh, well, you know, in these cases, it's the mother is so distraught because there's something wrong with her baby and she has no other choice. Oh, forget about it. It's terrible. And at least Trump called her out on it and said, you're in favor of ripping a baby's arms and legs and crushing its head. That's what we're talking about. You know, finally, the truth came to light.
So it is happening.
Oh, it absolutely is happening. And it's not just Down syndrome babies, because to be honest, Elena, with Down syndrome and some of these other fetal anomalies, they find out about that in the second trimester, not the third.
I would imagine it would be very early, yeah.
Yes, it's early on, because they do all these diagnostic tests right now. Anyone who's been pregnant and goes to these extensive blood work, et cetera, et cetera. And they come back with a whole host of whether your child might have cystic fibrosis, spina bifida, Down syndrome. The list goes on and on and on. And, of course, if it's one of those things, they will counsel the woman to terminate. They don't use the word abortion. They say terminate. And, of course, those are the cases where people say, listen, I've had this on our Defending Life program. We've even covered this on the Catholic View. There's a good way of doing this. You bring that pregnancy. The woman should never have to feel that she has to do this to her baby, because then the guilt is on the mom. Why not bring that child along and deliver it, take it as far as you can in the pregnancy, deliver the child, and even if the child only lives, you know, like in anencephaly and these other things, for a few moments, a few days, you know, a few months, and look at Senator Santorum's Bella. She's like 8 years old now. So, you know, don't put limits on what God can do. And what people don't realize is it's not just babies with problems that are being aborted late term. We're talking about healthy, healthy babies. And Priests for Life is exposing this horror because I think this will shake and wake a lot of people up, plus people who are already pro-life, and you have family members who say, oh, but, you know, I think this should still remain legal. Here's evidence to shake them up and say to them, is this what you're in favor of when you say you're pro-choice? Mm-hmm. Is this how far you were willing to let things go? Because we have evidence, hard evidence, that this is really happening.
I know that you have informed me that Priests for Life has been conducting an investigation. And before we show you the evidence, which we will in just a moment here, I want to urge you and ask you, if you have someone or you yourself or you know of somebody whose pregnancy has been counseled to terminate, somebody is counseling you or someone you know to terminate your pregnancy, please do call the show. Please do speak to Janet Moran. She is here available this hour. The number is 1-800-585-9396. And I know that, Janet, that you have been working in this investigation to prove that late-term abortion is being conducted. And we have actually a hard fact. So I'm going to let you listen to this so you can draw your own conclusions. And we'll explain exactly what it is when we come back from listening to this.
Southwestern Women's Options, this is Roger. How can I help you today?
Yes, I need to schedule an abortion.
Okay, do you know the first day of your last normal period?
Yeah, it was back in October 8th of 2016.
And have you had an ultrasound done?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Can you tell me, do you have a BPD measurement or a due date?
I have the due date is July 15th.
Okay, so, yeah, almost 30 4:30. Is there anything wrong with the fetus?
No, there's not. It's more just life happening. My husband lost his job. We already have some kids, and we're planning to continue the pregnancy. But now, with our world falling apart, we just felt like this was the best way out.
Do you yourself have anything going on medically, like asthma, diabetes, high blood pressure?
No.
Are you currently taking any medications for any reason?
No.
Well, the doctor accepted you as a patient. We'll be scheduling you for Tuesday next week. So we'll be starting on the 9th.
So I want to thank again Priest for Life for providing this evidence in form of audio, Janet. And again, this is a mother whose baby is at a 30-week term. So she is 30 weeks into her pregnancy.
And That's right.
And she herself said there's no medical problem with the baby or with her own health.
That's right. And so you saw there's absolutely no problem of her scheduling the abortion. You know, okay, we'll see you next Tuesday. Which, of course, by the way, this abortion takes several days. When they do a late-term abortion, the mother has to come in and they inject her to dilate the cervix, all right? And then she has to usually, they add this particular abortion mill, excuse me, is in New Mexico. And they have, they're in cahoots with a nearby motel where they get discounts. And the women go stay there. Then the next day they come back to the mill to be checked and they do some more dilation of the cervix. They also inject a needle through the woman's abdomen into the baby's heart and give the baby a shot of digoxin to stop the baby's heart. And by the day three, she's dilated enough, there's a dead baby, and they perform the abortion. It's horrible, absolutely horrible. And this is happening, brothers and sisters, every single day in the United States of America. And Elena, this was not just one isolated case. This is a lot goes on. And I can tell you about another case. People reached out to Priest for Life. Actually, this happened in 2015. And a young 20-year-old young lady with her father flew from England to this abortion mill that I'm talking about in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we found out about it because her uncle happened to know about this, and his sister, who was the girl's mother, didn't want her to have the abortion, and they had people willing to adopt this child, but the parents were divorced, so the mother didn't have much influence in the situation, and the father said, okay, I'm going to take it to America, because in England she could not have had the abortion at that point. So he took her from England to the United States, flew her here. Imagine the expense, Elena, okay, and then expense of the abortion. Anyway, the uncle was so upset, he contacted our media department at Priest for Life. He went on our website, and he called Leslie Palmas-Amansico as our media coordinator. And then we got in touch with Father Stephen Imbarato, who, as you know, is a full-time priest with us. But he is stationed in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's very familiar there with what goes on. And he has sidewalk counselors that he knows. And they went there to intervene. He even had sidewalk counselors, trained counselors, go to found out what motel they were at and attempted to talk to this young lady, mm-hmm. and the father would refuse any communication with this young lady. And unfortunately, she went through with the abortion, and she was at 30 weeks also. And it was a shame. I mean, there were people here, and even in the United States, that we had lined up that were willing to adopt this baby. But they went through with the abortion, and she returned to England. Very sad case. So the call you heard and the other investigation we're doing is to shine a bright light that, yes, late-term abortion, ladies and gentlemen, is still happening in the United States on a daily basis. It's a shame. All abortion is horrible, as we know, Elena. Let's face it, whether it's first, second, or third trimester. But so many people turn a blind eye. They don't realize that abortion is happening this late in pregnancy. And yes, it is. And this baby, too, of this 20-year-old from England, was also another healthy baby.
Another healthy baby. Both examples, the one you just mentioned, lady from England, the audio clip we presented, 30 weeks, pregnancy at 30 weeks term. And at 30 weeks, pretty much what's 7.5 months, that some premature babies are even born at that age. So
that's right.
If you
these are Elena, these are viable babies. You know, there's not
completely
a
viable and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Healthy, viable babies.
To viable meaning the baby can survive outside the womb at that point.
Exactly.
Breathe on its
own, perfectly fine, and you know. What can I say? It has gone too far, and that this is happening all the time. And, you know, this is a good way to present this argument to your friends who are pro-choice, to show them and prove to them. You can go to our website, priestforlife.org. We have a lot of information on this. You can get the audio clip that you just heard. We have an extended clips of this that they can listen to and let other people listen to convince them that this is what you're talking about when you say that this is about freedom of choice, you know?
And present a real choice there. In a moment, we're also going to be talking about the pain that such a baby can feel at that age. If you have any questions about late-term abortion, about abortion, if you know somebody who is going through a crisis pregnancy right now, you're wondering how you can help, this is the number to call. That's 1-800-585-9396. That number again is 1-800-585-9396 to talk to our guest today, Janet Marana, Executive Director of Priest for Life here on Open Line Tuesday. Continuing in just a moment. Stay tuned. Don't change that dial.
When you deal with God, get out of the way.
The incomparable Mother Angelica. She broke the mold of Catholic teaching with her one-of-a-kind perspective. From her spunky spiritual growth talks to her eye-opening scripture study. A nun like none other.
I intend to scare hell out of you.
She was the one, the only, the non-forgettable Mother Angelica. Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
On fire for EWTN? Get Amazon Fire TV. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Amazon Fire TV player. Never miss any of your favorite EWTN television or radio programs again.
Hello, this is Father Scott Daniels of Priest for Life with a pro-life update. In their pastoral plan for pro-life activities, the Roman Catholic bishops of the United States have asked that at every Mass a prayer be offered for the defense of human life. To help parishes fulfill this request, Priest for Life prepares an entire set of prayers of the faithful for each Sunday of the year, based on the readings for that Sunday. Among these petitions each week is a prayer for an end to abortion and other forms of violence, and for the growth of a culture of life. We also provide homily hints and bulletin inserts for each Sunday. You can find these resources at priestforlife.org, and we also provide them weekly via email. Help your pastor today by bringing him these weekly pro-life resources for the liturgy. Visit priestforlife.org for that information. This is Father Scott Daniels on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is Colleen Kelly Mast.
Hello, this is Archbishop Charles J. Chaput, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
This is Catherine Seltner, host of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Open Line is airing live 90 minutes into the hour, and we're expecting your phone call. The lines are filling up quickly, 1-800-585-9396. That number again is 1-800-585-9396. Or you can join us via YouTube. Send in your question via the YouTube chat by going to youtube.com and then typing in the search bar EWTN channel. That'll take you to our live webcast. And we have Elizabeth on the line, Janet. Elizabeth is calling in from Michigan, listening through our great partner, Ave Maria Radio. Elizabeth, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Elizabeth. Good afternoon.
Hi, Janet. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I was calling because my husband and I, sadly, unfortunately, just delivered a 37-week stillborn daughter, and we're so thankful that we kept her. It was never an option for us to abort her. But we found out from the hospital near us around 25 weeks that she had this awful chromosomal abnormality and heart condition. And we were very much taken aback because at this particular hospital, there was a lot of talk about you still have options and these sorts of things that were mentioned to us,
right.
Kind of implying that they could help us, you know, abort her. And I was just, my husband as well, just mortified that they would even mention this because as far as I know, abortion in late term is illegal in the state of Michigan. So I was just wondering, is that something that hospitals and doctors even at this point are trying to find loopholes? We were just, disgusted and floored that this was even mentioned to us as a possibility. So I just was curious if you knew anything about that.
Yeah, well, basically, a lot of doctors, even if abortion is not legal in their state, they will recommend, and they won't use the word abortion, termination, because they're so concerned about these wrongful birth suits that can happen that after the child is born. And I can give you a clear example. A few years back, up in New York, actually in Westchester County, a young kindergarten teacher, her and her husband were pregnant with their first child. And she was 35 weeks even, and they said she was going to, the baby had a seizure disorder. And her doctor recommended termination and referred her to a late-term abortion doctor, Dr. Carhart, down in Maryland. She, her mother, her husband, and another family member traveled from New York down to Maryland to have this abortion, stayed in a hotel, like I described, for 3 days. A baby's name was Madison. This was a child that they wanted to have. They had her room all set up. They had a baby shower for this child.
Mm-hmm.
So she aborted this child at 35 weeks for this supposed seizure disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And what happened was, later that day, it was a Wednesday when they aborted the child, Dr. Carhart then got on a plane and flew to another state that he does late-term abortions in, and she started to not feel well, complications, because he told her, well, you can drive back the next day, like on Thursday, but this is now Wednesday night. He's gone to another state to kill more babies, and they try to call his office. There's no answer. No one's there to help them. They take her to the emergency room, and she died the next morning from complications from the abortion. And her name is Jennifer Mobelli. If you Google it, you'll see I wrote blogs about it. I wrote about it, Priest for Life. We got the story out there. So this husband not only lost his baby girl, Madison, he lost his wife, too. And she was a kindergarten teacher, so the children lost their teacher. Very, very tragic, but yes, and this is what happens. If in your state there's limits that no abortions after 24, 28 weeks, no problem. The doctors will refer you to an abortionist in another state that will be happy to take your money and abort your child. So, and you know, a seizure disorder, as you know, I mean, come on, that's something that can be corrected, you know,
right,
medication,
right.
Dealt with. But no matter what the disorder was, I applaud you for your courage and your husband's courage to bring your baby to life for as long as you could, you know, bring the pregnancy along as far as you could, and I'm sorry for your loss. Unlike these other women who are aborting these children late in life, you know, late in pregnancy, I mean, not late in life, late in pregnancy, they have then the guilt of they did something to destroy the life of their child, you know. And at least you can have closure, you know, knowing that you did everything possible for your little girl. You know, did you name her?
Thank you so much. Yes, we did. We named her Mary Rose, and we had so much grace that came from delivering her and saying yes to having her. We knew she wouldn't survive, and the Lord just poured grace upon us. And I know she's in heaven praying for us. We can feel it. It was. The pain that we have experienced would have been multiplied exponentially if we would have aborted her. So
that's right.
Thank you for saying that, and thank you for thank you for the explanation.
Well, and thank you for your courage to come on and share, because you know you're an encouragement for other mothers who might be listening. Maybe you were given some sort of diagnosis about your unborn child. Do what Elizabeth and her husband did. Give that baby every chance possible, because who knows what can happen, right? You never know. And then if not, you had a proper birth and a proper, you know, you were able, I'm sure, to have bury the child and everything, and you name the child. Right. All that is so beautiful because it gives you proper closure, you know, and right. you don't have the guilt that, you know, I have to deal with the, you know, Rachel Zvania and Sally No More, the women who do go through with that late term abortion and the trauma that they have for the rest of their life. So, you know, thank you again, Elizabeth, for sharing, and I'm sure you're giving encouragement to other women. So thank you and God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. And that opens up the possibility to clarify many things. And with a personal witness like that, you can call in too. The number is 1-800-585-9396. That number again is 1-800-585-9396. And Janet, we are beginning to get our lines filled here. So this would be a good time for you to call. The number again, 1-800-585-9396. If you have a question about how to, well, very charitably talk to your friends who may have a different opinion about abortion, about the legality, about the propriety of abortion at different terms, especially late-term abortions or any term, give us a call. Janet Morana, the executive director of Priests for Life, is here with us. She's also the co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, filling in for Barbara McGuigan today, and she'll be happy to take your question. 1-800-585-9396. Just about a couple of lines left there for you, so still time to jump in. 1-800-585-9396. In a moment, more of Open Line, so don't touch that dial. Stay tuned.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak.
More to Life is about living the Catholic difference in our marriages, our families, the way we approach life in general.
It's about celebrating life and our Catholic faith and discovering all the ways God wants to bless us and help us be a blessing to others.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, weekdays 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
60 Seconds with Mother Angelica.
I don't know if news is news anymore. Do you think it is? When you hear that they're going to clone a human being, you know, it's hard enough to put up with some people, let alone two of them. We seem to glorify sin, grievous sin these days, see. But we say that the sin is worth it to do good. Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it? The abortion clinics sell the little fetus $600, $700, $800, $900 a piece. First we murder the child, and then we sell it. For what? Oh, well, it's going to cure an old woman. Well, you just killed a young one. True love is the best gift of all. Bye now.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Get an insider's look at the latest information from EWTN. Sign up for WINGS, EWTN's weekly email newsletter. Get the latest information about live events, special features, and guests. Connect with EWTN on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Just go to EWTN.com and click on the WINGS link to sign up. Don't miss a minute of all that's happening at EWTN. Get your WINGS today.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
29 minutes past the hour here on EWTN Radio's Open Line today with Janet Morana, the Executive Director of Priests for Life, filling in for Barbara McGuigan. This is Elena Rodriguez, the producer of the show, producing and filling in for Jack Williams. So we are delighted that you are joining us, and we have our lines almost full, but there's still a chance for you to call 1-800-585-9396, be on the show here with Janet Morana, and that is exactly what Jerry did. Jerry is in Minnesota, and she is tuning in to EWTN Radio through Real Presence Radio. Jerry, your question for Janet Morana. Go right ahead, please.
Hi, Jerry. Good afternoon. Welcome to the program. Jerry?
Jerry, can you hear us? Jerry, can you hear us? Let's see. Jerry, can you hear us now?
The last question. Yes, I am.
Okay. We can hear you now. We didn't before. So please restate your question.
I just had a comment with your last caller talking about late-term abortions. And I'm an OB nurse.
Yes, go right ahead with your question.
I just wanted to let you know that they do call them something else. They call them early inductions for those that have terminal diagnoses. I also had a child with a terminal diagnosis, and we were offered the same thing. But it's not offered under a late-term abortion. It's offered in our hospitals as an early induction.
Right.
Uh-huh. At a time frame when no child would live. And I just wanted to call and encourage anybody with a terminal diagnosis with their child to take that time and treasure it. You can spend those weeks, those days that you have with your child waiting for a natural birth and treasure them instead of killing that child prematurely by early induction.
That's right. And Jerry, I don't know if you're familiar with a program called Perinatal Hospice. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I am. That
is what you're saying. That's the proper way to do it, that they bring you as far along in the pregnancy as possible. Then, of course, you do everything to resuscitate the child, take care of the mom, and then sometimes the babies last, as you know, a few minutes, a few days, but at least that mom, gets to hold the child, see the child,
right,
and have closure, which is so important.
But hospitals are encouraging you to do this as soon as possible, even with that perinatal hospice. So they're encouraging a 26-weeker to go ahead and go through that process versus carrying that child for as long as possible.
Right, which, if you go through the early induction process, like you're saying, then basically you're responsible for the killing of the child.
Exactly.
But if you let nature take its course and wait till you go into natural labor, then that baby will be delivered. And like we said, live for a moment, weeks, who knows? I mean, look at Senator Santorum's Bella. She's 8 years old now, so you never know what might happen. So it's really in God's hands, not ours.
But there's this language out there that's calling it an early induction, and they're offering just what that other caller said.
Right, yes. Well, thank you for making people aware to not succumb to that because, like I said before, earlier, Jerry, I don't know if you were listening, but very often on the doctor's side of this, they're all worried about malpractice and everything else, and that's why they want to take this out card of early induction or termination, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, it's sad.
Thank you very much for calling and for participating in our show, Open Line, from your experience, from your point of view as an OB nurse. And we go to Ida. Ida is in the state of Wyoming, and she's listening online. Ida, your question for Janet Morana, please. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Mark. And I have more of a comment than a question. Some friends of ours were expecting their child and was... The doctor's diagnosis was severe Down syndrome and recommended that they abort the baby. And I don't know if it was a miracle or I thought Down syndrome was pretty much a simple blood test, but this child was born, was valedictorian of his high school class, is now a naval teacher at a naval college and a brilliant individual. So we need to be careful and make sure that we don't take the doctor's diagnosis 100% and also pray because miracles happen. Things change. Take this baby all the way and you might have a healthy baby at the end.
Well, and Mark, thank you for calling in about that because that is not an isolated case. At Priest for Life, we've gotten testimonies, many of them over the years, of couples who were given a Down syndrome diagnosis and said, well, this is still our child, we're going to still have it and love it. And then the baby was born and was perfectly fine and normal. So these tests can be wrong, and you're perfectly right. One of our videographers at Priest for Life, he and his wife had the same thing happen to them. And the doctor was saying, recommending termination. They said, absolutely not, this is our child. But he was born perfectly normal, and he's a college graduate now, and he was a star football player. So, we really do, God's answer is really the right way. Take that baby through the whole pregnancy and trust in the Lord, right?
Right.
Thanks for sharing, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. They are in Nebraska. Blessings to everybody in the beautiful state of Nebraska. Now we go to Ida. She's listening in Wyoming online. Ida, your question for Janet Moran, please.
No, I just wanted to continue that my baby actually did have Down syndrome, and he died when I was 33 weeks pregnant. I had gone in. They couldn't find a heartbeat. I ended up they had to induce labor, and I delivered him. But, you know, and yes, it's been 18 years, and it was a difficult thing to go through, but I was able to hold my baby in my arms. I was able to kiss him goodbye, and, you know, I know in my heart that I did everything I could for him.
That's right.
And that has given me comfort and peace over the years. Mm. And it has brought my husband and I closer together. I mean, we shared this difficult thing, but our son Christopher is in heaven. And
that's right.
And it has helped my children, too, to really see that this child was their brother, you know, a real being.
That's a beautiful story for sharing. And I, of course, we're sorry for your loss, but also for your courage and... like you said, it was beautiful just for that time, the special moment you had to hold him and kiss him and love him just for that short period of time. And thank you for sharing and giving that encouragement to others, people who are listening right now. So thank you, Ida.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you and Christopher.
And you know,
go right ahead.
If you talk to any family who has a Down syndrome child that they're raising, I've never heard one family complain about the Down syndrome child. If anything, I get testimonies. We get them in Priest5 people email us, send letters, testimonies saying what joy that child brings to their family. Mm-hmm. You know, the experience of having that child, a special needs child. So right away people are judging, you know, unless the child is perfect, 100%, then they're looking to abort the child. But any family, who has a special needs child, I hear nothing from those families but positive things, how rich and rewarding their lives have been having this child among them.
Mm. That is beautiful, and that's a great point, too, to consider. And you can call in with your consideration. The number is 1-800-585-9396. That number, again, is 1-800-585-9396. Call quickly. There's just a couple of lines open at this time. You can chat with Janet Morana, ask her your question, or share your witness about life, about defending life. And Janet Morana is the Executive Director of Priests for Life. She will be happy to take your question at 1-800-585-9396. We talked to Patricia, who is in New Hampshire. And Patricia, what is your question for Janet Morana? Go right ahead, please.
Hi, Patricia. Good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. First of all, I was out mowing the field just like up until a few minutes ago, and I got to a part in the field, and this radio station came on because I wear these headphones that protect my hearing from the tractor, and but it has a radio in it. So this one came on, and it wasn't even the one I had on, and it wasn't what I've ever heard before. I didn't even know it existed. So it, like, just came on in the field. So I'm like, okay, God, I'm leaving this station on. I can take a hint. And then I heard a lady give her testimony, and then so I thought, okay, I'll go in. I will call. I will give you my testimony. When I was pregnant with my son, and they were doing, he was like 8 weeks or something like that in utero, and the doctor heard something wrong with his heart, so they sent me for scans, and there was some major thing wrong with his heart that he was, if he survived the labor and delivery, that the doctor, that it would cost tens of thousands of dollars to repair the heart, replace it, or whatever they were going to do, and it might not work. He might die anyway. So I was, they recommended abortion. So I was thinking about that, but that would not be my first choice. But I was thinking about it because of the trauma, and we had other kids, and blah, blah, blah. So I went to a pregnancy counseling place for people who are, you know, like me. They're in a difficult pregnancy and they need help.
Right.
And the people there said, whatever it costs, we will get you through this. And so we chose not to have the abortion because we had that backup, plan B, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I did have to, because of how the baby was positioned and the so-called problems with the heart and stuff, I had to go to bed for 6 months. Couldn't do anything heavy. You could only get up and go to the bathroom and get something to eat, go back to bed. And not just in bed, but I had to lie on my left side. There's another cool story with that, but I'll make this shorter. Anyway, the baby was born at like 39 weeks, I think. And he was 9 pounds, 10 ounces.
Oh, my goodness.
22 inches long. Healthy and nothing wrong with his heart. Nothing wrong with his heart.
Oh, my
goodness. He was active through school, through the grade school, and in sports, and in high school in sports, and college in sports, and still active today. He's 29 years old today. He's healthy as a horse. He's like 6'4", and I don't know how much he weighs, but he's totally healthy and strong and you know, has a healthy lifestyle.
Praise God.
So
praise
I'm
God.
Just, yeah.
And see, Patricia, that was funny how you weren't even listening to EWTN, but somehow the channel came on when you're out there on the tractor and prompted you then. See, the Lord and the Holy Spirit knew you needed to come on the network today and share that beautiful story with us for our listeners, because there might be a woman out there who was just given some sort of diagnosis for her unborn child, and they might be recommending abortion, termination, early delivery, all those other terms. And
yeah.
Your witness is a beautiful witness to say these tests sometimes are wrong. And so therefore, you know, do it God's way. Bring that baby to life. Bring that baby to full term, and then let's see what happens, right? And yours is a beautiful, beautiful story. So, Patricia, thank you for taking time out from mowing out in the field. We appreciate you for joining
absolutely,
us.
Absolutely. I'm like, okay, God, I can take a hint.
What part of New Hampshire do you live in?
What
part of New Hampshire?
Oh, not too far from Concord in Elkham.
Okay, because I've been up to Portsmouth a few times.
Oh, yeah, so we're between Concord and Portsmouth on off of Route 4. Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I am scheduled to go up there in October speaking for New Hampshire Right to Life, so maybe I'll get to meet you. How's that?
Oh, my gosh, do you know where they're going to be? I'll have to look it up, right?
Well, check our website, Priest for Life, under my speaking schedule, and I don't even know where the venue is yet. But I know it's early, the first week in October. It's early October, so maybe we can meet there, okay?
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless you, Patricia. Thanks for joining.
God bless you. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Many happy reunions to Patricia. And thank you, Patricia, for taking us out there on the fields to mow the lawn with you. This is a wonderful time. Also, to remind you who spend a lot of time there out in the fields, and all of our listeners who are on our nation's roadways, to take EWTN Radio Classics with you as you head out there and make good and productive use of your time and learn something while you drive, while you mow the lawn. EWTN Radio Classics is our 24-hour-a-day, 7-days-a-week teachings and devotionals channel, and it's available from all of our EWTN archives from all the way up until the very foundations of our EWTN television network. So it features Mother Angelica, Patrick Madrid, Father Benedict Groeschel, Father Larry Richards, Father John Ricardo, and anyone you can imagine who is a classic here on EWTN. So to find out more about EWTN Radio Classics, to tune in, you can even look for it on your EWTN app, which of course is a free download, but you can also go to EWTNRadio.net and listen to EWTN Radio Classics and then learn. And it is a wonderful opportunity to learn. And Janet, we have our vibrant YouTube community represented today in someone who wants to remain anonymous, but he wants to learn. He's really open to learning. He has a very interesting question, and here it goes for you. And while you're thinking about this, I want to invite our listeners who are getting ready to call in with a question to dial 1-800-585-9396. because we still have time to put you here on the air. So, Janet, here's the question. He asks, are the Catholic objections to abortion all moral and ethical objections? In other words, are there figures or statistics or hardcore evidence of any kind to suggest that abolishing abortion may actually benefit a society? He says he's open to considering it. He says he is as a personal standpoint, he is pro-life, but politically, he is pro-choice. So is there any evidence that abolishing abortion will benefit society?
Well, sure. Well, first of all, you know, the Catholic teaching is, of course, from the moment of conception to natural death, all life is sacred. But as far as what has abortion done to society, well, I can tell you from the testimonies of the women from Silent No More, the abortion did not solve their problems. It has created so many other problems for these women. Things like abusing drugs and alcohol just to get over the pain of the abortion. So you might be saying to yourself, with all the drug treatment programs we have out there and all the Alcoholics Anonymous and all these other help groups, why, oh, why have we not conquered alcoholism and drug abuse? Well, it's because of abortion. You know, you could just go down the list, Elena. So many of the people who have had abortions, the women, suffer from eating disorders, psychological problems. The list goes on and on. And what would benefit society? Well, think about all the children. Over 50 million children have been aborted in this country. Over 50 million. We're probably getting close to 60 soon. It's horrible. Well, where are those children? What if those children were part of society? And what if one of those children was supposed to give a cure to cancer,
right,
or any of the other diseases, or
right,
diabetes? We don't know.
We don't know. We don't have that.
Were wiped out.
Right. We don't have that statistic because it didn't happen because abortion happened.
Right.
So.
And then here's an economic one for you, Elena.
Uh-huh.
Is that think of now all these baby boomers that aborted their children. Okay, well, those children would have been working, paying into Social Security. So you want to know why Social Security might be going bankrupt now?
Uh-huh.
Is maybe because the workers are not there paying into Social Security. So
yeah,
there's you know, the kind of the numbers. Another reason here is, everyone said, well, if we, you know, if we have an abortion, then, you know, there will be only, no unwanted children will be born, and this will take care of child abuse. We'll just eradicate child abuse. Well, guess what? We haven't eradicated child abuse. In fact, statistically, child abuse statistics have gone on the rise, increased since abortion, not decreased. So abortion did not solve the problem statistically for child abuse either. So for our YouTube question person there, I mean, we can just go on and on. The list gets longer and longer and longer. But there is no disease, no natural disaster, Elena, that takes more life than abortion. And, yes, it has affected our society based on all the problems that women and other men, the dads, have after an abortion.
Well, thank you very much for clarifying that. That's a very interesting conversation. I want to thank our YouTube community for participating because it opens up the dialogue, and then we can think this through. And you can do that, too, by calling 1-800-585-9396. That's the number that Charles called. Charles in Michigan is tuning into EWTN Radio via Barriga Broadcasting. Charles, your question for Janet Moran. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm calling kind of two-parted statement witnessing here. I was a special needs child. My mother was told that an abortion would have been in her/my best interest. Thankfully, obviously, she didn't choose that. I'm now 33. I have an amazing child of my own, has no health issues. And I just wanted to witness there that not to listen to the doctor.
That's right. Well,
more often
Charles,
than not.
Yeah. Charles, thank you for your witness. And you made a very important point that abortion has a generational effect. You know, had your mom aborted you, then that child that you had would not be born. And so, therefore, abortion does have a generational effect on society. And so that's a beautiful witness that you gave that, you know, you were born with special needs and you've overcome that, whatever the disability was, and obviously went on to have a child of your own. So thank you, Charles, for that witness. It's beautiful.
Another part of it is I've been blessed to be able to work in spiritual care at our local Catholic hospital for a number of years now. And I've been listening to the program for the last, I don't know, about 40 minutes, a half hour. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful towards anyone on the program at all, but people keep referring to children, adults, any of God's humans that are not disabled as normal. And as a standpoint from someone that does have a physical handicap and someone that works with people that are in hospice situations or parents that have had children born with special needs, maybe to rethink the word normal, because, I mean, we are all creating God's image.
That's
if
right.
If we have one leg, such as myself, or no arms, or a speaking disability, whatever it could be, we need to be reminded that we are born in His image.
That's right.
And, again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything of anyone that uses the word normal. It just, it really takes me aback, and I personally know quite a few people that do take it offensive.
Right.
Because, quite frankly, what is normal?
Right. Well, you know, Charles, unfortunately, the society we're living in, it's like everyone's looking for the perfect child. And if the child is not perfect, that's why in creeps abortion. If there's anything wrong with the child, these doctors are recommending termination, as they put it, which is terrible. Because the point you're making is which is what we always make, is that every life has value, every life is sacred, from the moment of conception till natural death. So, but thank you for sharing with us, Charles. It's beautiful that you shared, and also the fact that you have a child of your own. So, had your mom aborted, that child wouldn't be here, like I said. So abortion does have a generational effect. So thank you for joining us.
And thank you for being a father, Charles, for calling in. We are very blessed that you are alive and calling in to our show. Ross is listening in Louisville, Kentucky. And Ross, your question, we just have a couple of minutes left, so please go right ahead. Rose?
Ross, I think it's
Ross. Okay, go right ahead, please. We just have a couple of minutes.
Hi, I'm just wanted to call from a strictly medical viewpoint. I'm a medical student in Louisville, Kentucky, and I just want to clarify for some of the people, I think some of the listeners are hearing too many blanket statements about how doctors are recommending abortion just because a baby is going to be born with a disability or a mental disability. And that's just not what we're taught, at least. And I just don't see that a doctor out there that wouldn't be acting in, if they're not acting in what they were taught, if they are recommending abortion strictly just because a baby has Down syndrome, or because, like another caller said, it's going to be tens of thousands of dollars to repair a heart, that's not what we're taught as a reason to recommend termination or an abortion. So I just want to clarify that the doctors that are doing that are not doing so by the standards that we're taught, or if they are, then maybe it's a changing generational thing, and now medical schools now are doing better about letting the patient choose and letting patient autonomy be, you know, what comes first rather than the opinion of the doctor. So I just want to make sure people, I've heard a lot of don't listen to your doctor type statements, and I just, from what we're taught, you do not recommend an abortion simply just because, you know, someone has Down syndrome. If there's harm to the mother or harm to the child, that they're not going to make it, stuff like that. But I just want to clarify that it's not all, you know, oh, your child is going to have Down syndrome, the doctors recommend you get an abortion.
Well, Ross, thank you. But you're lucky to be going to such a good medical school that's teaching the things you're saying. But unfortunately, there are many schools, medical schools, especially those in New York and California, who teach just the opposite. Who do teach the termination word. And we know by the evidence of the people who have called in, the testimonies we've had over the years, that the doctors are recommending. Matter of fact, statistically, over 95%.
Janet, I want to thank you at this point. Time is running out, so I want to ask Renee to please call back next week with Barbara McGuigan. Open Line begins Tuesdays, every day of the week at 3 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday with Barbara McGuigan, Pro-Life Issues. Thank you so much, Janet. God bless you, my dear.
God bless.
Stay tuned for more of EWTN Radio right here.